Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Yes, I received that. Welcome to Convocation. In this moment, I just invite you. The lights are down a little bit. It's not to be depressed. It's to be more contemplative. So I invite you just for a moment to be present to the God who is present with you. As we cross this threshold into the new semester, I invite you to take a moment to open your awareness and to let go of the pressing needs, the distracting cares, even the joys and excitements about moving into this new semester. Just let them go for a moment and open your attention to God who is present to us in the Spirit in this moment. Be present. Open your awareness. And now with the words of Paul, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation as we come to know him, so that with our eyes of our heart enlightened, we may know what is the hope with which he has called us, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Kevin, for leading us across the threshold. And indeed, welcome to all of you, whether students, faculty, staff, from any walk of life, from Eastern Mennonite University, seminary, and beyond, those of you listed in our order of worship as leading our worship this morning, and I do also want to welcome Clyde Kratz, because Clyde is here today, and he is the chair of our seminary committee, which is part of the Eastern Mennonite University Board of Trustees. And Clyde plays a wonderful role as a supportive and wise counselor in our midst. Indeed, welcome to the beginning of spring semester at Eastern Mennonite University and Seminary, to spring convocation and to this time of remembering and experiencing that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Shortly, we'll be hearing from Lonnie Yoder. Lonnie is Eastern Mennonite Seminary Associate Dean and professor of pastoral care and counseling. He's also my invaluable colleague. I have trouble imagining life here without Lonnie as a source of candid counsel. You laugh because you know it's true. Wise leadership, gentle and generous-hearted support of so many of our journeys, whether as students, staff, or faculty, and all of it grounded in rock-solid integrity. Most weeks, Lonnie and I have a regular meeting time, but rarely a week goes by without my tapping on his office door and asking, "Do you have just a minute?" And Lonnie will look up from whatever's going on that computer screen with a faraway look, and then he'll zoom in, and he will have just a minute. Then just about as often, a knock comes on my door, and there's Lonnie saying, "Well, now it's my turn to interrupt you." We interrupt to sustain each other amid the unpredictabilities, complexities, and joys of our roles and lives here. I look forward to what Lonnie will share with us about sustaining life, because I so well know that he knows whereof he speaks.
I will be reading from Romans 5, 1 through 5, and it is printed in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer, and you may use whatever verbiage or language that is your preference. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It was the evening of September 6, 1995. I was planted in front of our TV, anxiously awaiting the start of the ESPN telecast of the Baltimore Orioles California Angels baseball game. You see, this was the night that Cal Ripken Jr., the shortstop of the Orioles, was going to break the Major League Baseball consecutive game streak, a record that had stood for 56 years at 2,130 consecutive games, a record set by the legendary Lou Gehrig of the New York Yankees, whose own consecutive game streak was stopped by a rare muscular disease, ALS, that now is known more popularly as Lou Gehrig's disease. Cal Ripken was in the starting lineup that night, portended well for breaking the streak, but did not guarantee that the streak would be broken, because you see, the intricacies of Major League Baseball is such that a game must go for either 4.5 or 5 full innings, depending on which team is ahead, the home or away team. In the fourth inning, Cal hit a home run on this momentous evening. The home run was announced by none other than President Bill Clinton, who was in the ESPN broadcast booth. Clinton was in attendance along with Vice President Al Gore for this occasion. At the end of the top of the fifth inning, as I recall, the Orioles were ahead, and so the game became an official game in case it rained and the game needed to be discontinued. It was official and would go into the record books as a game. And so at the end of the top of the fifth inning, Cal Ripken broke the record. There was a banner on the B&O warehouse. If you've ever been to the Baltimore Stadium, there's a huge warehouse beyond the right field wall, and there was a huge banner with the numbers 2130. And as the top of the fifth inning came to an end, another banner swirled down saying 2131. The record was now broken. As that happened, what turned into, and someone, I guess, timed this as I did my research, a 22-minute standing ovation ensued for Cal Ripken, probably the longest standing ovation in the history of sports. Not only did Ripken break the record that evening, but he played an additional 501 straight games before he voluntarily removed himself from the starting lineup in the final home game for the Orioles in the 1998 season. His record of 2,632 games spanned 17 seasons. And if you know anything about athletics and sports, this is an incredible accomplishment in terms of being able to play in that many consecutive games. That record-breaking game has been voted the most memorable moment in all of Major League Baseball history. It was a memorable night for me as well. I remember as the game unfolded, and especially during the 22-minute celebration, I began to weep. You know, not deep, gut-wrenching weeping, but crying. And for much of that 22 minutes, I cried. tears rolling down my face. I was surprised at my tears, and I was surprised at their persistence. I reflected in the moment, and I've reflected a lot since about what were those tears about. My easiest and simplest answer is I was overwhelmed by the immensity of what Cal Ripken Jr. was accomplishing, and especially the humble manner in which he received the well-deserved accolades and applause that evening. It indeed was an amazing discipline that he had engaged in over a number of years, eventually over 17 years. And yet, that streak came to an end voluntarily on his part. His athletic career has ended. He is now no longer a highly disciplined athlete, and he, in fact, is aging. I recently saw him on a TV advertisement, and I was struck by the aging that had occurred in his face and the fact that he had gained weight. He was no longer the svelte athlete of the 1980s and 90s that I remembered. So even with the best of athletes, their amazing feats do not continue. This morning, as we gather at the start of a new semester, the question I want to ask is, how do we sustain our lives through the multiple challenges that we have faced, are facing, and will face? We've started a new calendar year. We've started a new academic semester. There are those of you in this room this morning who are brand new at this academic thing. You may have maybe starting or renewing graduate studies. In the seminary alone, as I reflected over the past semester, and I imagine those of you in other departments of the university, counseling department, elsewhere, could tell similar kinds of stories about our experience in the fall semester. But in the seminary alone, during the fall semester, we faced multiple adversities and challenges. We experienced the death of loved ones. We have and are experiencing personal health challenges. We experience mental health challenges of one kind or another. Throughout the semester just past, many of us received news or feedback which we found challenging to receive. Some of us have been getting in touch with earlier life experiences which were in some way traumatic or damaging. We all of us in this room, face on a daily basis the reality of our own brokenness and finitude. And the list goes on and on. So how do we sustain this life then? For me, it's tempting to begin by looking at ways that we can become more Cal Ripken Jr.-like. Spiritual sustainability. Can I pray for 110, 365, or 2,000 plus consecutive days? Can I read my Bible for that same number of consecutive days? Or academic sustainability? Will I submit every assignment on time and to the best of my ability during the semester? Will I get an A on every paper and in every course? Leadership, job sustainability. Will I always be there to answer the call like Cal Ripken did every day when my leadership role is needed? But I invite us to step away from that temptation, at least initially, and focus rather with the one who sustains us as Christians, to acknowledge the source of our sustainability. And only then, in some brief final reflections, do I want to think together with you about ways that we can contribute to that sustainability. The good news this morning is, in all of our sustainability talk, The good news is the enduring and eternal love and presence of our God in our individual and collective lives. The scriptures are filled with references to this quality of our God. The Old Testament, I took Hebrew as a seminary student, and one of my favorite, perhaps my favorite Hebrew word is the Hebrew word chesed. Did I say that right, Anil and Jim? Thank you. Got that, whatever it's called in there, chesed. Steadfast love. Steadfast love. Over the past weeks, I've been exploring the occurrence of this word, steadfast love, chesed, in the Hebrew scriptures. The first reference is brought a smile to my face. This word first occurs on the lips of Abraham's servant as he's on a mission to find a wife for Isaac. When he arrives at the well outside the ancestral home of Nahor, this is his prayer. O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. And in this case, it meant finding a wife for Isaac. And if we know our scriptures, we know that the steadfast love of God was at work here. Indeed, the provision of Rebekah as a wife for Isaac ensues. The second reference is also in a prayer, this time on the lips of Jacob as he prepares in fear to meet his brother Esau. O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, I am not worthy of the least of all the steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. The list goes on and on. The Psalms are replete with this word. Psalm 33:18, truly the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. But the psalmist occasionally has some questions about this steadfast love. Psalm 77:8, has his, God's steadfast love ceased forever? In Psalm 87:7, it's in the form of a plea. Show us your steadfast love, O God, and grant us your salvation. In Psalm 136, this steadfast love is a repeated refrain, for his steadfast love endures forever. In the New Testament, there's a shift. At least in the English language, as I looked for this word steadfast, the shift is away from a focus on the steadfast character and nature of God to the steadfastness that we're called to in our own journey. An example, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord you labor not in vain. While the text that was read this morning, Romans 5:1-5, does not use the term steadfast, it includes in that very interesting what I originally viewed as a kind of stair-step series of words, the word endurance. And endurance shares with steadfastness a similar character. So let's focus for a few moments on this Romans 5 text, because I think it provides a helpful lens for our sustainability efforts. In the beginning of this text, verses 1 and 2, it is clear that the foundation for our sustainable practice and practices is justification by faith. It's another way of saying sustainability does not begin with us, it begins with God. And if we read just verses 1 and 2 and then put a period on this communication, it sounds very much like an upbeat, triumphal reality, this thing, this reality, justification by faith. We have peace with God. We have access to grace. We boast in our hope. It would be nice to stop there, but the text doesn't. It goes on. We boast in our hope, but the writer turns right around and then says, we boast in what? In our suffering, in our sufferings. In this spiritual economy that we experience, suffering doesn't go away. Rather, if we read this text closely, it becomes a springboard, a workshop, a context, a seedbed for endurance and character and hope. The word suffering here in the this text and throughout the New Testament has two meanings. One of them, the kind of suffering that comes externally, brought on by outward circumstances. Acts 11:19 is an example. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution or suffering that took place over Stephen is an example. As I read that text over the break, I just learned the news of Christian believers in Nigeria experiencing bombings in their churches and death. Now, this kind of external suffering for most of us who are living right now in the North American context is probably not as pervasive and as dire as it is for Christian believers in Nigeria and in other settings throughout our world. However, we do have our sufferings, as I named earlier. The second meaning of this word suffering in the New Testament has to do more with an internal experience or reality, often of a mental or spiritual nature. Philippians 1:17 is an example. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering in my imprisonment. Suffering, which is both external and internal, is a seedbed for growth. How is that, we might ask? How is suffering a seedbed for us? Here again, the example of a skilled athlete and a disciplined athlete like Cal Ripken Jr. is germane. Now, Ripken was obviously talented, but if not for the suffering which he endured to train his body and mind, he would never have set the record. In my research, I was interested in trying to find where were the points at which Ripken's consecutive game streak was in jeopardy, and I'll share three of them with you. I'm sure there were more than three. Perhaps the scariest moment came when he suffered severe back spasms, and if any of you have had back problems or pain, especially spasms, it's not something you just will away. But Ripken somehow played on through those back spasms and kept the streak intact. In fact, the game in which the spasms were the greatest, he hit a home run in that game. There was another occasion when he severely twisted his knee and it was painfully swollen. But he didn't miss the game. He didn't even miss the infield practice before the game. Now, there was one very bizarre occurrence that almost ended the streak. Ripken was a member of the 1996 All-Star team for the American League. And in a photo shoot before the game, the American League players were on a makeshift platform. And at the end of the photo shoot, they were coming down off the platform. And one of his American League teammates lost his balance and, in an attempt to gain his balance, threw his arm out, hit Ripken in the nose, in fact, broke Ripken's nose as they were descending from the platform. This was an All-Star game. I don't think it actually would have counted in his consecutive game streak because it was a special game. But what did Ripken do? He had his nose set, and he played seven innings of that All-Star game, when in fact he probably wouldn't have had to do so. Suffering. Suffering produces endurance. That's what our text says here. Suffering produces endurance. Another way to translate this word endurance here is patience. Suffering produces patience. Now, patience is not a virtue. I don't think it is in our 21st century lifestyle. So how can suffering produce patience when we don't have patience? It requires a biblical lens on life, a lens of that steadfast love and presence of God in our lives, no matter the circumstances we face. When things go bad, when things get tough, remember the steadfast love and presence of God. Now, this is counterintuitive thinking. Recently, I read a sermon focusing on the idea of the absence of God. And the preacher of that sermon was saying that when is God absent? God is absent when things are not going well. I say this is the time for counterintuitive thinking. This is the time for counterintuitive affirmation of God's love and presence, not denying the suffering, not engaging the suffering, but realizing that we experience this suffering through this lens of the steadfast love and presence of our God. How then do we contribute to our own sustainability if we own this steadfast love and presence of God? Let me offer three quick thoughts. One would be to acknowledge the contemporary presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As I've reflected on that shift between the Old and New Testament about this idea of the steadfast love of God, my conclusion is that in the New Testament, the presence of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, is the functional equivalent of what's named as the steadfast love of God in the Old Testament. So I invite us to ask the question, how do we become more Spirit-focused as we experience our journey together? How do we remind ourselves of the Spirit's presence? As I listen to our language as a community, I don't hear a lot of Spirit language flowing from our lips. Now, I've been sensitized to this and paying attention, and in pastoral care class this morning, I heard Spirit language used 2 or 3 times. So maybe it's there more than I realize. But nevertheless, I invite us to own the presence of the Spirit as a form of God's enduring and steadfast love. So the Spirit as resource for our own sustainability efforts. Secondly, the very fact that we are in community together. Again and again, as I journey with people suffering, I hear refrains like this. I don't know how I would journey this path without others, or some variation thereof. Our very community becomes a resource for us in our practice of sustainability. And then third and finally, ritual. Ritual is deceptively sustaining. And thankfully, as a community here at Eastern Mennonite University and Eastern Mennonite Seminary, we have many rituals we engage in. We're engaging in one right now, convocation. And tomorrow, at I think 10 o'clock, the university-wide convocation will occur in Layman Auditorium. Our chapel gatherings are a form of ritual that sustain us through the semester. The Lord's Prayer, which we said together, is a ritual. Prayer is a ritual. Greeting one another is a ritual. Remembering one another in times of suffering is a ritual. Our family gathers every Monday evening in our home, Teresa, me, our 2 daughters, and our son-in-law. We share a meal together. It's a practice. It's a ritual that we engage in. At times, confessionally, it frustrates me, because it gets in the way of other things that need to be done. I more often than not, I'm late to that meal, because of something that's happening here at the seminary, and yet I do not want to give up that ritual. It's incredibly important for the sustainability of our family. So what are the rituals that you engage in, that we engage in as we embark on this semester? We will travel together over the next 15, 16 weeks or so. We will experience growth. We will face challenges. We will hopefully be sustained, both reminding ourselves of God's sustaining presence, but also training our minds and bodies and spirits to be God's sustainability agents. I close by returning to the night of September 6, 1995. As that top of the fifth inning ended and the Orioles players returned to the dugout and that banner was unfurled and the applause began, Ripken was in the dugout, and he didn't want to acknowledge what was happening. And in his own words, and I quote, this is what happened. Bobby Bonilla and Rafael Palmeiro pushed me out of the dugout and said, "Hey, if you don't do a lap around this thing," meaning around the entire stadium, which he did, "we'll never get the game started again." Ripken goes on to say, "I thought it was a ridiculous sort of thing. But as I started to do it, the celebration of 50,000 people started to be very one-on-one and very personal. I started seeing people I knew. Those were the people that had been around the ballpark all those years. And it was a really wonderful human experience." In my mind, an example of spirit and community and ritual all wrapped up in one. As we embark on this semester, may we also have a truly, truly wonderful human and spiritual experience together this semester. Amen.
Bless you, Lonnie, for engaging us in an awareness of God's steadfast love and enduring presence. In a moment, you all are going to be invited into a ritual of anointing. Anointing to be aware of and deepen your understanding of the sustaining presence of God. I'm going to call those who are anointing forward, and we will anoint each other first, and then the invitation will be for you all to come forward to be anointed for the journey and sustaining presence of God's grace and love as we move through this semester.
Spirit of God, descend upon our hearts in this community and mediated through our rituals. And now go forth into this spring semester sustained by God's steadfast love. Go in peace.